This is Ozarks at Large.
Number 5, Brooks Robinson.
If you are a baseball fan, that sound probably makes you very nostalgic for the times when we had baseball. It is a cut introducing Brooks Robinson when he was a Baltimore Oriole, and it comes to us from the David and Barbara Pryor Center for Arkansas Oral and Visual History, one of the digitized archives that we're going to hear today because Randy Dixon is on the phone with me from his home. Randy is with the Pryor Center. How are you doing, Randy?
Great, Kyle. How are you?
Very good. I love these segments. We get to hear digitized archives that have been provided to the Pryor Center from KATV in Little Rock, made possible through a gift from the Tyson family.
That's right, and I love doing these. It's great to research them and find all this and come on and talk with you every week.
Well, Brooks Robinson was one of the best third basemen in baseball history, a native of Central Arkansas, and at the time when he was with the Baltimore Orioles, that was one of, if not the most storied franchises at that time.
Well, and he played with them his entire 23-year major league career.
Right.
He was there from 55 to 77. And, of course, while he was there, they won two World Series.
Including the 1966 series when they swept the Los Angeles Dodgers. And we have some content from Brooks talking about that, don't we?
Well, we found footage from 1966. There was a big homecoming for him. And he came back to Arkansas after the World Series win, and he was greeted at the airport. It was a huge crowd of people that included some notables. Bud Campbell from KATV talked to him, but then also Bill Dickey and Billy Mitchell were there to greet him.
I certainly appreciate that. I tell you, a lot of nice things have happened to me, especially this year, and but this is the nicest of all, coming home and being welcomed by people you've known all your life, and this is a high point in my career and a high point in my life.
Bill Dickey, a Hall of Famer, and a fellow who knows a real good baseball player when he sees one. I think, Bill, you're as proud of Brooks as everyone in Arkansas is, aren't you?
Bud, you're not kidding. Brooks, I want to say congratulations. We're all proud of you down here, and I know how you felt when you that final out of that World Series game, four straight.
Well, you're right, Bill. It was a great thrill, and I tell you, I was really glad to get those four out of the way. I didn't care about going back to Los Angeles to play anymore.
Billy Mitchell, I'm going to ask him to come in because Brooks, way back there, I know that you got part of your start anyway at the Boys Club. Bill, what capacity did Brooks figure in back in those days?
Well, he won some midget league championships for the Little Rock Boys Club, and I think played twice on the State Midget League championship team for the Boys Club.
You haven't forgotten those days either.
No, I'm afraid not. But I tell you, I remember him very vividly, and Lamar Porterfield especially.
And you heard Billy Mitchell there talking about when Brooks Robinson played in what was called the Midget League. That was the actual name of it back in the...
So it's not very politically correct these days.
40s and 50s. It was basically a little league, right?
Right, right. And they played at a field called Lamar Porter Field, and it was near downtown. And my dad, who was a few years older than him, told me years ago that he used to watch him. And he said even in Little League, he was an amazing player. He said people would flock there just to see Brooks Robinson as a kid.
Of course, when Brooksy was growing up, I mean, baseball, of course, is still big and important now. But when Brooksy was growing up, baseball was the American pastime. And he and his dad played, and they started not with a baseball, though. What? Tell me more about this.
Well, he'll explain here, but KATV talked to his dad and then his mom, but they'd play with a tennis ball. And he explains why.
Brooks Robinson Sr. remembers how it all began. And actually, Mr. Robinson, it began with a tennis ball, I think, didn't it?
That is right, Bud.
When he was a small boy, we always had a tennis ball here, and we got out in the backyard and played catch with him, you know, and we was afraid to use a regular baseball. We were afraid he might injure him, you know, and so from then on, he just went on and played wherever he could.
The day before Brooks Jr. was born, where were you?
Well, I was at a ball game watching my husband play. He's played sports all through school, and we were at a ball game that night, and I was watching him play, and the next morning I was in the hospital and had Brooks Jr.
Not that these things can be predestined before birth, but you're watching your young husband play baseball while you're about to give birth in 24 hours to your son, who is going to become a baseball Hall of Famer.
It was karma.
Just a side note, KATV loved talking to the parents of famous Arkansans, didn't they? We've heard from Glenn Campbell's parents, Johnny Cash's parents.
That was kind of a theme, yeah. Jim Pitcock liked to do that. He liked to, you know, make it personal. And he would usually, if he could, talk to the parents of a, I guess, celebrity, if you would call it that, whether it was in sports or entertainment. He would try to find their parents and talk to them about, you know, their childhood.
Yeah. You know, if we've talked about the 66 series, of course, the Birds, the Orioles won the 1970 series against the Cincinnati Reds as well after being upset in 1969 by the amazing Mets. But in that 1970 series, Brooks was nothing short of amazing, especially with his glove. He did swing a mean bat, and we'll talk about that in a minute, I think, but he was renowned for what he could do with his glove at third base.
Oh, gosh. You know, as a kid, I used to watch him. He was easily my favorite baseball player. But it was sort of like, you know, when he would field a ball, it was like watching Nureyev
or Rishikov,
right, especially in the slow motion, you know, replays of him diving for a ball and then throwing it. But, yeah, I mean, his nickname was the human vacuum cleaner, which I think is a terrible nickname, personally. But Mr. Hoover.
And you've got a cut from his longtime, very famous baseball manager about him as a player.
Well, I guess his attitude and temperament are as about ideal for baseball or life in general as anybody could have in the position he's in. He loves his job. He loves to play baseball. He don't like to sit out a game. If he does have to sit out a ball game, he accepts it, and he's still part of the ball club. As far as work is concerned, as great a third baseman as he is and has been throughout the years, each night when he gets to the park and we take the field to go through our batting practice drill, he'll take his 30 or 40 ground balls and loosen himself up.
That's Earl Weaver, who sounds very calm.
Very nice, by the way. It wasn't always the case.
If you're unfamiliar with baseball lore, Earl Weaver was known as someone who would come out and yell at the umpire and kick dirt on him and turn his baseball.
Kick dirt on the shoes, yeah.
Right, right.
Yeah, he was pretty much a hothead, but you could tell he really felt a lot about Brooks and his character.
And Robinson, on those Orioles teams of the 60s and 70s, he was a superstar. He was beloved there, but he was not the only one. Frank Robinson, who, of course, won an MVP. You had pitchers like Jim Palmer. And speaking of slick defenders, Mark Belanger at shortstop. And then you had Boog Powell at first, this big, towering mountain of a baseball player.
Yes. And we have a little bit of an interview with him here about his, you know, even though he was known for playing third base, he was also a pretty darn good batter. He had a .267 average, almost 3,000 hits, and he had 268 home runs.
And so here's Boog Powell talking about Brooksy as a batter.
What about Brooks Robinson as a batter, Boog?
Well, I've seen Brooks now for, I guess this is my ninth full year in the big leagues, and overall I would have to say he's one of the best hitters that I've ever seen come along. Especially where our ball club is concerned. He's got so many big hits for us, it'd be just about impossible to stop and count them all. And it's meant a lot to me, too, as a hitter.
Now, what you're talking about is the ability to hit in the clutch.
Well, this is true. And he proved this again I think the last series we had against the Yankees over there at home, he had a grand slam home run in the bottom of the ninth inning, which was a real big ball game for us. And it always seems when the big ball games are up there, Brooks is in there swinging the bat for us.
I'm talking with Randy Dixon, who is from the David and Barbara Pryor Center for Arkansas Oral and Visual History. We're taking another stroll down Arkansas history's streets, and we're doing this one about Brooks Robinson, the all-time great baseball player born in Arkansas. Okay, so Randy, if there's a theme that we've had with some of these of talking to parents, there's another one, and that is the Arkansan done good coming back home.
Of course, it was nice that you were selected as Arkansas's Professional Athlete of the Year for the second time, but I guess one of the real big honors this winter would have to be that Hickok Award, wouldn't it?
Well, it sure was. It was a big thrill to me, mainly because it was more or less for the Pro Athlete of the Year, you know. And
in all sports.
In all sports, yes. And it's
a beautiful belt, and it looks like it is worth $10,000. I know I'm going to have to pay taxes on that, too, but it was a great honor to receive it. And I was with some great people there, and Bobby Orr, who plays for the Boston Bruins, and also George Blanda was there, and we really had a great night. And it was terrific. I'm just very happy to receive it.
Is it some sort of a belt that you put in a trophy case? It's not the type of belt you could ever wear, is it?
No, you can wear it, yes. It's got a great front buckle, a great big front buckle on it, then you could put it around you. But it wouldn't be, you know, it has about 26 small diamonds and a great a large diamond in front with a sapphire and a ruby on each side, and a lot of it is gold, so I wouldn't be parading it around any place. I'd put it in a locked box, and that's where it is right now.
You heard him describing the belt. I want to see the belt. he won that year, 1970.
You know, if you go to Camden Yards now in Baltimore, you will be greeted by a huge number 5 that's outside of Camden Yards. That, of course, was Brooksy's number. And Brooks Robinson, and he hasn't played now for 43 years in Baltimore, he's still very much beloved in that city.
Yes, and still lives there. He stayed in Baltimore, but still loves Arkansas. He was back a couple of years ago when they renovated Lamar Porter Field. He was there for the dedication. I don't think his health is great right now. Mm-hmm. So I don't know how much he travels, but, you know, again, he still considers himself an Arkansan. And, you know, his nickname, as you've mentioned several times, was Brooksy.
Yeah.
But in this clip, some people referred to him as Arky.
I heard somebody a moment ago before we came over here refer to you as Arky. So obviously, even though you live in Maryland now, Arkansas is still very much a part of you, and I know you're proud to contribute to our state by representing us so well in Major League Baseball.
Well, thank you. I've always been happy to be associated with Little Rock and Arkansas. And I'll tell you, the fellow who called me Arky was Joe Schultz, who's managing at Kansas City, and he was my second manager in professional baseball. And when I got there, I was 19 years old, and that's the name he pinned on me right off the bat was Arky, you know, so I still hear that a lot. But, I kind of have in the back of my mind that one of these days I might get back to Arkansas. I really like the pace of things there more so than living in the East. But it's much easier living in Baltimore and when you play there, you know. If I was playing someplace else, well, I might be living in Little Rock. But now that I've been in Baltimore for a long time and I haven't been traded, well, it's just much easier on your wife and family to stay in one place.
And if you want to hear more about him growing up in Arkansas, there's a book. Mm. I have it. It's an easy, good read, but it's called Third Base is My Home. Mm. And it's his autobiography.
You know, there's another, there are several people in the Baseball Hall of Fame that were born in Arkansas, Lou Brock, Dizzy Dean, and one that I don't think you'd be able to find anything on, and that's Arky Vaughn, who was born in Clifty and starred for the Pittsburgh Pirates in the 1920s. Probably don't have anything digitized with Arky Vaughn, do you?
I'll look for it.
Well, all right. Don't be disappointed, though. Randy Dixon is with the David and Barbara Pryor Center for Arkansas Oral and Visual History. He visits with us almost every week with some of these great clips. And you can find these and much more if you Google Pryor Center and go through their website. Randy, if you'll have us, we'll let you come back and do another one.
Hey, if you'll have me, I'll be here.
It's a deal. Thanks, Randy.